Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming. It's a very rainy day and cold day, and you braved the weather to come to the temple. We appreciate it. Especially some of you drove from very far away as well. My master, he said that he's one of the best meditators I know. He said that it is reported to me by one of his nuns who's an arhat. Thầy của thầy, ân sư của thầy ngài Tiên Hóa đó là một vị thiền sư rất rất là trình độ rất là cao. Thiệt ra thầy chưa gặp người nào mà cao như ngài Tiên Hóa, cao bằng ngài Tiên Hóa. thành một cái đệ tử của ngài là một cái bà, đó là bà sư cô là A La Hán, có kể lại cái chuyện này. He says that he's a patriarch of Orthodox Buddhism. Vì ngài là tổ sư của chánh pháp. So he's there's a lot of jealousy and ill intentions from his colleagues and his competitors. Colleagues meaning the other monks. Một cái vị tổ sư mà nổi tiếng, thành ra ngài có phải chịu cái sự ganh tị của những cái người khác, rất nhiều người khác, không phải riêng ngoại đạo không, mà còn ngay người trong đạo cũng vậy, mấy người sư, mấy người ni, người ta cũng khó chịu lắm. So one day he was invited to a foreign country. Ngày kia một cái chùa, cái thỉnh ngài tới. The objective is for him to go on a Dharma propagation delegation. Mời một phái đoàn của ngài tháp tùng theo ngài để tới mà để mà hoằng dương Phật pháp. And they gave him some food. They offer him some food. Rồi cúng dường đồ ăn cho ngài. And they poison him. Rồi đầu độc ngài, đầu độc ngài. So he knew it. And what did he do? This is common. This the patriarchs. The reason that you become a patriarch is because you have to be ready for these types of things. Okay. Cái vị biết chuyện thông thường lắm, muốn làm tổ sư phải phải chuẩn bị cho những cái sự kiện như vậy. Because it happens to all the patriarchs throughout the times. Thành ra mấy tổ sư đều chuyên môn bị làm vậy hoài. So what did Master Shen Hua do? He moved the poison according to her. He explained to her that her his disciple. He moved his poison to his foot. Vì ngài làm sao? Ngài kể cho đệ tử của ngài, ngài biết trúng độc. Tại ngài dùng nội công đẩy cái độc xuống dưới chân. What for? Because he's busy. He has no time to deal with it. So he pushed it to the end, to his foot, so that it's there. And it cannot cause any problems. Nothing significant, nothing major. Tại ngài dùng cái nội công mà đẩy cái độc xuống. Quý vị tưởng tượng, đẩy cái độc đó. Thay vì nó lan nó khắp tất cả người, ngài để cái độc dồn vào trong chân ấy. Để làm gì? Tại lúc đó bận rộn, không có thời giờ, đang hoàng pháp, không có thời giờ mà đối phó với nó. Rồi sau rồi đối phó với nó. And afterwards he took care of it. Okay. So this is incredible. This is from meditation. Cái này là cái từ cái nội công, từ cái thiền công, từ cái thiền mà ra. So you see, I can imagine where you can contain the poison. Thầy nghĩ là có thể làm, có thể, and I hope you don't try it on me. Còn mình có thể cầm cái độc nó lại, ngăn cái độc nó lại, không cho nó lan ra được. Okay. When you meditate, it's possible when you meditate to contain the poison from spreading. Okay. But for you to do that while walking, while smiling, and while functioning normally, I find it so hard to do. And thầy nói nếu như mà quý vị mà có thể mình cầm cự cái độc nó không cho nó lan ra được thì có thể làm được. Nhưng đều mà làm vừa làm việc vừa đi hoằng pháp, vừa đi nói chuyện với học trò, với người khác mà có thể làm được như vậy thì chuyện không thể, thầy không thể tưởng tượng nữa. You see how incredibly advanced he is in terms of meditation. It's just inconceivable, don't you think? Because why? Because when you're thinking, when you're functioning during the day, that's when you are your chi is being dissipated. Therefore, your attention is diverted until in many things you need to do. In meditation, when you meditate, you're supposed to concentrate on one thing, your meditation topic. Vì thế không? Lúc mình thiền á, thì mình chú ý tới cái mình đang thiền, đang tham thiền thôi. Có thể là một cái thần chú, có thể là một cái danh hồng danh Phật, có thể là hơi thở, có thể không quan trọng. Vấn đề là mình chú tâm vào một chỗ thôi. Thành từ đồng với khí, mình vận chuyển nó được, mình kềm chế được. Còn khi mà quý vị không thiền thì cái óc mình nó đang tán loạn, nó đang bị chi phối đủ chỗ hết đó. Thành ra cái cơ thể mình, cái khí mình nó không có mạnh. So you see, normally when you're thinking, when you function during the day, your mind is what is called scattered. Cái tâm mình nó bị tán loạn. Okay, that's natural. That's how it is. And hi there. To just for this man here, this monk here, to be able to function and talk to you and smile to you and help you explain what you need to do to solve your problems, and yet he's not scattered. That's incredible meditation skill. Vì tưởng tượng như coi một cái ngài này á, this is my teacher. Ngài này mà ngài có thể trong cảnh giới mà làm việc như mình, suy nghĩ như mình á, mà không tán loạn, là một cảnh giới dễ sợ luôn. Thầy không thể tưởng tượng được, giỏi dễ sợ luôn. I find it, you know, incredibly high. You know, the point here is, if you ever played video games, anyone have played video games? Ai chơi mấy cái máy điện toán không? Yes, two, three, the girls too. Oh my goodness. Video games. Have you ever played video games? Have you played like 24 hours a day? Có ai chơi 24 tiếng đồng hồ chưa? No? What's the longest you ever played in a stretch? 2 hours. It's nothing yet. You're not a heavy duty yet. Anyone? 24 hours, you know. You played video games. I played to the point, this is before I meditated, okay? Yes, please don't think me any less right now. You play video games. You play, and what happens is you play long enough, something happens. Have you noticed something happens? You play video games. Yes. Go like this? No, I don't go like this. Not everyone. Yeah. His dad goes like this. Yes, anyone else? When you play video games long enough, what happens to you? Yes, Ikaru. You get tired. Very good, you get tired. You get what? You get blind. No, I get hungry. That's when I need my sugar. Yes, anyone else? What happens to you? When you play video games long enough, like hours, okay, here's what happens to you. And I tell you this because I know you don't even pay attention. Your hands are cold, aren't they? Your fingers are cold. Anyone? No? Yeah? Yeah? Your fingers are cold, right? Your toes are cold. Your feet are cold. Correct? And you notice that? You guys don't, that's not called playing video games. That's nothing yet. It's not called video games, playing video games until your feet are cold and your hands are cold. Okay? That's a real player. Okay? It's called dedication and passion. So what happened is that when you play video games, what happens to you? Your account is going like this, right? Like this, right? And staring at what? At the screen, right? Ricardo, is that correct? See, now the kids don't pay attention to me anymore. Now they have their own buddies. You go like this, you stare at the screen, and you go like this, right? Or like this, with your mouse, right? What does it mean? Your attention is drawn to the screen, right? Everything goes to the screen. All of your attention is outside on the screen. And the finger only responds to what your mind is doing, right? But the whole attention is outside of you, right? And where does it come from? Your head, your attention is up here. That's why you're out of balance. I use the example of video games to show you that when you think, you're out of balance. Is it clear? When you think, sit there and you say, okay, you use your brains, okay? And the video games, an extreme example, where actually they captivate, they catch everything, they draw everything out of you. They keep on draining and draining and draining. You see that? That's the mental energy you drain from paying attention to the screen constantly, hours after hours after hours. You're draining yourself. That's all you're doing. Does it make sense to you? That's called anti-meditation. It's just the opposite of meditation. See? If you pay attention outside of you, focus on one spot outside of you, okay, then you are being drained. All your energy flows out. It's called, Buddhism is called outflow. Okay? Cái tiếng Việt mình gọi là cái lậu, bị lậu. Rồi tại khi mình chơi video games, mình chỉ chú tâm ra cái màn ảnh thôi. Thành ra bao nhiêu cái sức mình nó bị tuốt ra hết. Nó toạt ra từ cái óc mình, nó chảy ra ngoài con mắt. You see what happened is all your mental energy up here in your brains goes through your eyes, okay? And a little bit through your muscles here, your arm here. But most of the energy, mental energy, is lost through the eyes. Everything goes out of the eyes so that you can concentrate, look at the screen. And you use your hands a little bit to move your hands, but this is minimal energy. The worst energy loss is right here, outflow is right here. Cái mắt mình đó, khi mình nhìn chú tâm như vậy, mình chú tâm với cái màn ảnh trước mắt mình như vậy, bao nhiêu cái sức mình đó, nó tốt ra hết từ hai con mắt ra. Any questions about that? Any disagreement about that? Ai không đồng ý không? That's why when you're tired, you go home after work. What do you do? Thành quý vị để ý không? Khi quý vị về nhà, sau khi một ngày làm việc về nhà mà mệt mỏi, what do you do? Most of you. What do you do? You have a drink. Right? You eat something. Okay, have a drink, something. And you? Turn on the TV. Am I correct? Anyone? Yeah? Why do you watch TV? Because it numbs you. TV has alpha rays that will dull your thinking process. It slows down your thinking up here. That's why it's relaxing. Okay, so and so you see, meditation. These extreme examples I tell you is to show you that normally during the day we're getting our energy is being drained through so many factors. Okay, ta thầy cho quý vị thấy là. Trong thường ngày thông thường chúng ta thì tất cả những sức lực, khí lực chúng ta nó bị tản mát ra qua nhiều cái, qua cái lục căn. And the six gates, the six doors that our energy are dissipated through are called the sense organs. Cái lục căn đó là cái bởi vì lục căn bên tiếng Việt mình gọi là lục tặc, nâng cấp tất cả những cái khí lực chúng ta. in Buddhism is called the six thieves, because they rob us of all that's precious to us. Okay? Yes, sir. Did you have a question? No. Okay. All right. Does anyone have any questions? I got Thang Mak Tee Khao. So what happened is that if you understand the concept that, you know, usually a lot of your energy are being dissipated through your eyes, right? This is what we like to do. We like to look at things, observe things, right? This is where our energy is being dissipated. Okay? Yes, sir?
Video games can be seem to be more draining than TV.
Yes.
Correct. I'm wondering why that is. You have to process a lot more. Are you responding to things?
Yeah, because it demands your thinking process. TV, you don't have to think. TV has something, the alpha rays, where actually it dulls your wits. Actually dulls your wits. Okay? Whereas the video games demands mental processing constantly. You have to move. You have to move. You have to react to it. It demands a reaction. It's called, you need to react to what's happening in the screen. Reaction requires thinking. Mental processing. Okay? It's different from a TV game and from a TV. So the example of the video game shows that if you think excessively, you're out of balance. You take a step further, quý vị thấy không? Video game cho quý vị thấy càng suy nghĩ, quý vị càng mất cái thăng bằng. But normally, if you pay attention, you have some real meditation skill, you see that every time you pay attention, you go outside. That's when your energy being drained a lot. So when you meditate, you close your eyes and go back inside. That's when you charge up your batteries. So batteries again. Thành ra cái thiền là quý vị nhắm mắt lại và chỉ chú ý vào nơi cái đang điền á, thì tự động cái khí lực nó bắt đầu nó bắt đầu nó tù lại, nó không bị tản mát nữa. Okay. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
But so even if it's a video game where you're really just like, say, fighting some creatures or something, there's a whole... There's
now
a
it's
lot
like
of
combat, a Grand Theft Auto, or whatever. Yeah. Mm. Number
so
five.
That's
yeah.
Still a lot of thinking, even though it's like, I mean, it's pretty low-level thinking, but it's still draining, it's still thinking.
It's actually pretty high.
It's very intense. Yeah. It's extremely intense. Yes, that's it. Unfortunately, that
concentration.
Yeah, it's very demanding, right? I mean, just like so much faster. You have so much more on your toes to react to it. Your reaction has to be faster.
And about that, it's like it's really strange because a lot of times I tell myself, you know, I can't do this thing, or I can't meditate because my mind can't sort of like focus on it.
Right. Except when you play video games.
When I'm sitting in front of a video game, I'm like 110.
Yeah, you draw. Because the video games draw it out of you. Draw you into the screen. This is why extremely dangerous. Video game is the work of demons. The demons will draw you out and rob you. The demons are, the nature of demons is that they harm you by robbing you. Okay? They will kill you by robbing you. They love to steal from you, and they rob you, and then they kill you. It's different from the ghost. Ghosts is that cause trouble for you, but they don't necessarily need to kill you. Demons will kill you. But before they kill you, they like to rob you. That's part of their fun. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You were saying that when you watch TV, you kind of relax you.
Yes.
The thing I realized that when you watch TV, like I used to watch the soap opera.
Yes.
And it was chapter by chapter.
Right.
And I would just, you know, stay home all day and watch it. And I realized that my energy was drained too.
That's right.
You use a lot of your energy.
Right. 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 Same thing. Same problem. You're draining. But you remember the example after work means that coming home from work, your mind is still churning, right? You can't let go. So watching TV knows you, okay, to the point. And then when it becomes interesting, then you are being drained again. Okay, good question. I didn't say that. Let's see if you pay attention. Yes. So at first it will calm you down, relax you a little bit. But afterwards you watch too much. If there's a good show up there, that's when you're in trouble again. It's no different from video games. Does it make sense? That's why you have children. Allow them to play half an hour. That's it. No more. Because it becomes harmful to them. At first, the first half hour or an hour, it helps their hand and eye coordination. That's very helpful. It trains them that. Okay? But not beyond. Beyond that, it becomes an addiction. Becomes excessive. It's not good for them. Okay? Yes.
Mm-hmm. They show that you have to think for survival.
Right.
Think your future, think your business, think your family.
Right.
Think about everything.
Right.
So you say, in order to stay in peace, you don't have to think.
Right.
But we have to think.
Yes.
Is yes. there any way for thinking correctly?
Who is correct? Who's right?
Yes.
I'm right, of course. Yeah, but I'm right. I'm more right than they are. I'm kidding. No, I'm not. We have to think. The question she's asking is we have to think during the day because when we're at work, we have to think, right? And now in meditation, we tell you don't think. Minimize your thinking. So what is right? What is wrong? You should think at our level. You should think when we must. But the rest of the time, don't think. That's the balance. Okay? For example, when you're driving your car, are you thinking?
No.
Yes, you are. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. You're thinking about a problem, right? That you have. Something that bothers you, right? That's called thinking. Does it help or not? You usually get an answer. And I ask you every single day. I know you drive, okay? And I know when you drive, you think, right? When you think, I remember while driving, you're thinking. Can you come up with a solution? How often do you can come up with a solution? Tell me. Pay attention. Please be honest. It's very rare you can come up with any kind of solution at all. Right? Because your mind is scattered. It's between driving and thinking and driving and thinking and driving and thinking, and then the cell phone rings and the stereo and all those things. Yeah, your mind is distracted. You're thinking when you're driving because of habit energies. It's called habit energy. The compromise, the balance is that think when you must and stop thinking when you don't have to. Well, it doesn't help. Okay? Because you see, people think because of from the force of habit, not because it helps them. And this is what meditation points out to you. You find out that instead of thinking like that, okay, while driving and while walking and while, you know, while eating, okay, then what you do, you concentrate on your eating, you concentrate on doing the things, relax your mind. What I like to do is relax. I drop my thoughts. As the thought comes up, I say, oh, I'm thinking, drop it. I don't need to worry about it now. I don't want to worry about it now. Because worrying about it now doesn't help things at all. But you see, the habit energy is to keep on thinking and thinking and thinking about it. It's called worries. We worry. Okay? And we can't stop thinking, we can't stop worrying, and it's not helpful. There's no need for that. So meditation, part of meditation skills to recognize that you're thinking, you're draining yourself, okay? and stop it. That's all you do. Stop it. That's called meditation. Okay? Meditation while working, while in movement. When you meditate, movement meaning when you're walking, you're working, you're cooking, you're sweeping the floor. If you find yourself thinking, stop. That's all you do. That's called meditation, in movement. I know it doesn't answer your question, but it's a start, right? Now, yes, there's more. You worry.
Yeah,
worry. Yeah. Yeah. Yours is even worse than thinking. Worrying is one level worse than thinking. Okay, thinking is that you use logic. Worry has no logic. It has to deal with emotions. You notice that? Thinking is still logical. You use your logic. Okay? But worries is you have an unresolved emotion. Or you have to chop up the emotion, then you go down to thinking again. Okay? Meditation is not a cure. Meditation allows you to see what's happening to you, where you are spending your energy. Okay? And then you realize, is it helpful? Is it helpful to change it? For example, if you're spending energy at work and to think, is it helpful? Yes, it helps me earn a paycheck. This is a good thing to do, right? Meditation is to be smart about things, to be aware of things, whether it's useful or unbeneficial. That's all. Whatever is not beneficial, you stop. You cut it out. Okay? Any other questions? So, the more still you are in meditation, the more aware you are of the drainage that you're spending through your sense organs. Okay? So the worst culprit are your eyes. You're always looking at things. That's why, you see, this is why I wear glasses. Look at too much. I'm kidding. Don't take offense. Okay? Any other questions? So, my teacher, you see, I started by saying that my teacher was poisoned by a fellow monk, and then he pushed the poison to his foot. So that he can continue and talk to people and teach people and deal with the poison after he is done at night. That's incredible because you realize that while he's talking to us, he's through his sense organ, he smiles at you, he looks at you, he hears you, converses with you, and all those things, and yet he's able to contain the poison. That's incredible. That is, to function without thinking. That's only possible when you are not thinking. You have minimal thinking. So I use the example again. I'm glad you asked the question. Is that because it shows that depending on your skill level, you're able to function with minimal thinking or no thinking at all. Okay, why is that? Because thinking is linear. When you're not thinking, that's when it's multidimensional. You can look at the problem from more facets, more angles than just one angle. Okay? So, for example, the problems that if you use your logic to deduce it, you cannot solve it. the problems when you have to go from the other angle, from not thinking. Okay? That's when you solve the problem. So it turns out my answer to your original question is, well, you must think to function. Yes, the answer is yes, at low levels you must think in order to function. Okay? When you keep on meditating, you reach high levels, like my master's, he doesn't think anymore. So for us meditators, is we see that where he's at, so we try to get there ourselves, because it's possible. He taught us how to do it. We just are not able to do it yet. Okay? And so what's fascinating about meditation, because there's so much you can still improve on. You buy that? The fact that actually when you're have some real meditation skills, you find out that instead of sitting there and think about your problem and worrying about your problems, you should meditate. And so all of a sudden, quite often, the solution will come to you a lot faster, a lot better than you were to sit there and think about the problem. Why is that? Because when you have some meditation skills and you're able to stop thinking at that split moment, your wisdom comes forth. It takes over. And it's able to solve whatever problem it's facing. Okay? So let me explain to you the process. For your sake. Your thinking mind here, in front, who grabs the things. He says, oops, what a beautiful picture. Oops, how fragrant the roses. Okay? So in front of you, there is a conscious mind that grabs. It goes to the six sense organs to grab things. Okay? It's always going outside, grabbing, you know, at the sight, at the sound, at the smell, at the touch, okay? Okay, so far so good? That's how you function normally during the day. There's a conscious mind that grabs at things, gropes at things, not just grabs, gropes at things. It likes to do that, right? And it says, oh, I feel so good, I feel so comfortable, you know? That's touch. Okay? All right. So the way this guy functions is that as soon as it grabs something, what does it do? It processes in mental, it goes through mental processing. It says, see, what do I do about this? What do I need to do to get a raise? What do I need to do to make more money? What do I need to do to make her, to get her to like me? Okay? That kind of thing. So whatever it gets from the outside world, there's mental processing going on, okay? Like the image on the screen in a video game. You say, oh, I need to move. I need to move my tank to quadrant number 4, okay? I need to shoot a Tomahawk missile and all those things. The data that comes in, you process it mentally, constantly, okay? So that's what happens to you. So it's linear. As soon as you come in, it processes it, and you're stuck with that processing, and whatever comes in, it doesn't process it anymore. Okay? A lot of things is lost. Okay? Now, if you stop thinking, okay? You stop thinking, all the data still come in. Don't think you're dead. You're not. You're still hearing things. You still are smelling things. Okay? You still are seeing things. But there's no mental processing. What happens? This thing, this guy, is not functioning. So the guy behind it is called your wisdom. He takes over. He said, I need to do this, I need to do that. When you're not thinking, this is when you are at your best. Your solution when you're not thinking is much better than this guy here. This guy here is much better problem solver than this guy. this guy in front here is slow. It is crude. It is one-dimensional. This guy here is multi-dimensional. It's so much faster. It's about 1,000, 100,000, a million times faster than this. That's how fast this guy is. It's extremely fast. I'll give you an example. Okay? You recite Da Bei Zhou, you recite Great Compassion Mantra. How long does it take you to do one? One time. The great Sharanga mantra, how long does it take you to recite one once? I ask you, how long? How long? 30 minutes. This guy's very slow. By memory. Yes. Okay? I give an example. If you recite the great the Sharanga mantra, this is the longest mantra in Buddhism, 554 lines. Okay? And you recite one line after one line, it takes about, this gentleman says half an hour, no, that's too long. It's probably like 15, 20 minutes. He exaggerates a little bit. He cannot be that slow. Great Compassion Mantra in 2 minutes? 3 minutes, okay. You should be able to recite Heng Chang. Can recite the Sharanga Mantra in 3.5 minutes, he claims. That's not bad, okay? 3.5 minutes is not bad. Normally, the Sharanga Mantra, you should take about 15 minutes. Normal speed, okay? It takes about 15 minutes. The Great Compassion Mantra should take you about probably 1 minute. 1 minute, okay? Why? Because you use your conscious mind to see, you recite, okay? When you decide use your conscious mind, it's very slow. It says, Namo la da na do da ye. Okay? You go line after line. What is when you stop thinking, this guy takes over, Jin could recite the Great Compassion Mantra in seconds. Seconds. Every single line. Okay? My student the boy I trained, he was 12 years old. No, actually 10 or 12 years old, I don't remember anymore. He could recite the Great Compassion Mantra 84 lines, 86 lines, whatever, in about 5-6 seconds. Because every day, he's lazy, every day I force him to recite 300 times. So they walk around all day, I say, I don't care what you do, you just recite the Great Compassion Mantra. Okay, so he walks around and, you know, and he looks at the sky, he looks at the birds, and he listens to the birds, and he goes like this. Okay? And he realized it would take him about 3 hours, 4 hours every day. That's fast. And then one day I taught him, so he sat down and he could recite in about 6 seconds, 6.5, no more. Okay? And that's still very slow. You get that state, you're not thinking. And you can still improve to 2 seconds or even below 2 seconds if you're not thinking. Try this. If you are reciting the compassion, the mantras, try to stop thinking and you see how fast you get. There's a way to do that, but I don't teach it. Okay? It's meant for you to understand that the thinking mind you're so reliant upon is not that desirable. It's very slow. It's very inefficient. If you drop this guy is so far much better. Your real non-thinking mind, okay, behind the thinking mind, there's a guy behind it, okay, is so much more powerful. So meditation allows you to use this guy, not the guy in front. Okay? So meditation skills is that you learn to stop thinking. to stop thinking, meaning you allow, don't allow this guy to function anymore. You stop this guy from functioning so that this guy is at peace, is relaxed, and it can solve your problem so much better. Does it make sense? That's why meditation is so beneficial. It's so extremely beneficial. Make sense? All right. Does it answer your question? Yes, so it means that if you still feel you must think, think. But continue to meditate. At some point in time, you find that your thinking process, it becomes more efficient, and you find out that you have a problem bothers you, okay? You meditate. The more you meditate, one of these days when you meditate, you have something that worries you. All of a sudden, you have this solution that you didn't think of before. Okay? So that comes from your mind of wisdom, where you're able to solve your problem so much more effectively. Okay? You have it already. This guy here is not functioning. As long as this guy is up here, he's still making noises and say, me, 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 look at me, and that's how great I am. You know, I like it, I don't like it. So he's making all the noise. So this guy back here say, okay, okay, you go ahead. This guy here is self-effacing. He's not going to compete with you. Never. He never competes. Your competitive mind is this guy, not this. You understand that? There are two of you. This is your nature. This is your true mind here. This is what's called a false mind, the thinking mind. So you use this to because that's what everyone teaches you to use. You go to university to teach you, they teach you how to use this guy in front. But the true thinking mind here, you need to go to chan. For us to teach you how to use it. It's true. You want to use this, you have to do chan. That's the only way. There's no other way. I'm serious. There's no other way to learn to use this except chan. Yeah. Thiền. Có thiền mới dạy cái vị xài được cái này thôi. And it turns out, for your information, it's a long process, by the way. Don't think that it's just like overnight. Look at how long you've been thinking all your life so far. Your habit energy is just too heavy. So it takes a long time before you undo it. Okay? But you can develop skills where you actually stop. Like, you know, a lot of people I know, they rely on the brains too much. Okay? Yeah. So it takes a while, but if you believe the importance of your true mind here, then eventually you get to the point like my master where you don't think anymore. You don't think. You can function normally, like a normal person without thinking. Because the moment you think, the poison will kill you. Does it make sense? If your mind is scattered, you cannot contain the poison in your foot anymore. It could not anymore. Isn't it incredible that you can function during the day without thinking? That's incredible. It's fantastic. To me, it's just like you stumble. I stumble to someone who understands meditation. Any other questions? Does it help? All right. That's all I have for you. If you have nothing else to discuss, we can go to lunch. Yes, sir.
One question you said. Your mind is always going out through your sense organs, especially your eyes.
Yes.
Is it helpful to restrict your sense organs in it? Like, you know, just try not to look around so much? Like, keep your eyes sort of down? Is that...
Yes, it helps, but it doesn't help that much. Good question. Now you know that you have something called outflows. Your energy flows out. You have an outflow, is what we call in Buddhism outflows. It's your enemy. Trust me. I gave you an example of my teacher being poisoned, okay? And he is able to contain it. Imagine if you poison and you allow yourself to have outflows, it would kill you. Right? We agree on that. You see the model, see the picture. The poison inside of you, unless you contain it, it will get to your heart. You will be dead. Okay? So how do you stop it? It's no different from us. You are full of sicknesses inside your body. All of you, all of us. We have illness inside our body. Attacking us, right? If we allow ourselves to be scattered, don't think it's because just because right now you're healthy doesn't mean you're okay. My master is healthy, but actually he has poison in his foot. You cannot tell, can you? Okay? You cannot tell you're sick, can you? That's because your meditation skill is not that high yet. You meditate to the point where actually you begin to have problems, physical problems, because you're fixing those physical problems. Okay? So my point here is that you need to meditate in order to heal yourself. It slows down your decay. Okay? It's not nonsense. It's necessary for you to maintain your health and repair your body. Because the poison is inside your body already. It's just a different kind of poison. It's a slower death. Slower poison. Okay? This is very important. I want the message I want you to get from me today is that unless you do something about the slow killing, the slow poison in your body, you only die quicker. That's all. The body is decaying. It's in the process of decay right now, of decaying right now. All right? So this is why when we teach meditation, we urge you to bear the discomfort, because bearing discomfort will build patience, will build your chi. You'll be able to improve your concentration a lot quicker. Okay? Did I answer your question or not?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, very good. Thank you. And that's, yes. Oh yeah, that's right. Thank you for asking. Next week we will suspend our meditation class for 6 weeks. So we will resume the meditation class on the first. Is that the first Saturday? Yeah, the first Saturday of February.
Next week, the schedule says the Fuji starts after lunch, so we would still have a morning program or no?
Fuji? Huh?
Yeah, the Fuji says it starts after lunch. Do we have one more Saturday program? Or just
oh, we do? Okay, yeah, let's do it one more then.
I don't know if we're doing
what the heck? Okay, you caught me. Okay. We can have one more session next Saturday morning, and then we start our Fuji. Okay. But after that, we'll shut down, and we don't have any Saturday class until February, the first weekend of February, first Saturday of February 2014. However, if you wish to continue to receive training, you can come to the Chanqi, which begins on the 14th, 21st. So every day we would meditate, and we have lectures as well. So you want to come meditate, you're welcome to come join us anytime with no instructions until like 8 or 9 o'clock at night. Okay? So we meditate. So we will not be holding classes for around six weeks. Okay? Does it help? Okay. But you know, if you really want to improve your meditation skills, come to attend the Chanqi. It's wonderful. Yes.
Question. Wondering if we should do like just the beginning class kind of at the same time on Saturday for new people. Say new people want to come and join the Chanqi. Or do we just give them on a case by case basis? Give them.
We no longer cater to the beginners. However, there are people who schedule who let's say I want to come here and learn about meditation. Some special cases where they make the appointment, we can arrange to give them instructions on what to do. Okay, but it will be just fundamental, basic instructions. It's not going to be like this talk here for an hour. We don't have time for that. So if you need instructions, you can schedule for an appointment. You can do that. And the other thing is that when you meditate, let me tell you something. The reason we ask you to meditate daily is because you're gonna have problems. And when you have problems, you don't know how to solve the problems. Okay. The problems are designed to stop you, dead in your tracks. And if you can solve the problems, that's when you make progress. Meditation is different from the other practices. You preferably should have someone to guide you in your meditation practice, and that your teacher should be able to help you solve your problems. That's what meditation teachers are supposed to do. They are problem solvers. Because the problem is you cannot solve yourself. You don't know. Okay, I meditate for 20 years, and I've run into so many problems that at first, several years of my practice, I couldn't find anyone to answer my questions. It's very frustrating. You know, for several years, I didn't know whether I was sitting in full lotus properly or not. I didn't. I wasn't sure. I kept at it, and one day I said, I finally understand what it means. Okay? So, the nagging problems that keep on popping up in your mind, you need to resolve them. Okay? And preferably, you want to have some clarification or some help with your problems. So during the Chanqi, if you have problems, that's when during the break you come up and you ask. Like when we sit for an hour and then we walk for 20 minutes. During the 20 minutes, they can come up and grab me and say, you know, Master, I have this problem. Okay, what happens? What do I need to do? Okay. So the instruction is there, but it's not going to be a discourse. I tell you what to do, you need to do, whether you should be worried about it or you should fix it or how to go about, dealing with it. So that's available. It's usually it's not available in the other places, the other temples. They don't give you answers. But I realize that you all are very busy. So for you to invest an hour or two of your time to come meditate, it's a big deal for you. So we're trying to make it helpful for you. So what it means is that you come, you meditate, you try your best to concentrate in meditation and work hard. And you work hard, and should you have problems, come up and ask. We help you. Okay? That's what we do. And I let me assure you, that's the only place I know that makes it available. I've been to my teacher's meditation hall for 4 years. I didn't have it. I went to Hong Kong and another patriarch's meditation hall. They don't have it either. We are here to help you solve problems. Why? Because we are a lot more experienced than you are. We try to save you time. This is America, okay? We meditation because we want to make good use of your time, not waste it. And trust me, it's a very good use of your time. Okay? We try everything we could in order to help you, your meditation practice. That's what we do, okay? Because it's good for you. It's very good for you. Okay. All right. So it's a real, real wonderful opportunity. If you really want to learn meditation or learn how to improve your practice, you should go to the Chanchi. That's why we're doing everything. We're making everything available to you so that to encourage you to do that. You come here, you meditate. You don't have to worry about a thing. Don't have to worry about a place to sleep, you know, food to eat. We take care of everything for you so that all you do is meditate. Okay? So that someday you too can stop thinking and be happier. Okay? I assure you, the more I meditate, the happier I become. And I hope you don't take it as bragging, but every day I wake up, I feel good. I feel very happy. Then when I first started 20 years ago, I was a very unhappy man. Too many worries. Now I have more problems than before. My body is older than before, okay? But I'm a lot happier. My problem is so much bigger than before. Okay, before I had no family, no people to take care of, no children. Now I have hundreds of children who come to me with their problems all the time. And they bring the family's problems, husband's problem, you know, children's problem. You know. So the problems are more, but I'm so much happier. Why? Because I'm thinking less and less. Okay? All right, let's go to lunch.